Well, Jules, a tough loss in the first game of this two-game series. Jays had a 3-0 lead. They turn it into a 5-4 loss. Bowden France is cruising until he doesn't, unfortunately. The fifth inning, and especially that sixth inning at work, loses some command. Vladdy, unfortunately, to wear this one, making a few critical mistakes on defense and on the base paths despite the RBI double. The team as a whole went 4-13 with runners in scoring position. Not going to win a lot of games when you do that. And as a result, unfortunately, they dropped the first game of this mini two-game series.
Yeah, kind of a, you know, when it comes to runners in scoring position, we have certainly seen this before, show, but this game was very, very winnable. And you take away the miscues, you know, a couple of balls that Vladdy probably should have picked up at first base, the out on the base paths when he left first base a little too soon, and that fly ball by Anthony Santander, all of those little moments. We have seen the Blue Jays put together a lot of wins this season by having the little things go right. And when they don't, that is when things like runners in scoring position and a 4-13 mark really become amplified. When you're playing the brand of ball that the Blue Jays are right now, you sort of need all of the little things to go your way. And when you have a contributor as important as Vladimir Guerrero Jr. make that many miscues on both sides of the ball, doesn't necessarily breed a lot of confidence or success for your team. And kind of unfortunate too, right, Cho? Because this game started with a booming RBI double off the bat of Vlad Jr. Just really, really unfortunate that he couldn't lock in there and keep this game to the Blue Jays' advantage.
That is Julia Kreutz. I'm Sho Ali. You're listening to Jays Talk live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're also streaming on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. You can give us a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. You can text us as well, 590-590, name and location. The People's Text Line always open, as you guys know. Standard messaging and data rates may apply. Yeah, I had some Bowden Francis notes here, and we can get to Bowden in a sec, but it's hard. Like, I was kind of debating to myself, like, do you want to talk about Francis losing some of the command here in the sixth inning or Vladdy? And I was still on the fence a little until the very end there when he again made a drop on, I believe it was a Will Wagner play. And Wagner, much like Bo, both making some pretty tough plays on the dirt and delivering it to first base. I think the Wagner throw probably was for Vladdy to pick was maybe a higher degree of difficulty. That ball took a bit of a hop, but still, still though, I mean, he essentially cost the team. Unfortunately, it's unfortunate that he's going to wear it on a day he went, 2-for-4 with an RBI double, but he essentially cost the team 3 runs, right? I mean, 1 run for sure on the play where he doesn't tag correctly on the deep Santander fly ball. Was Santander?
That's right. Yeah. Almost got his second home run,
which would have been crazy and at Camden Yards of all places. And then, of course, the play with Bo and Bo making it. I thought Bo made a phenomenal play, like deep in the hole, kind of backhand stabs, turns and just rifles it to first right in his glove. I thought until I saw the replay, I wasn't 100% sure if the ball like hit the dirt and it skipped it or not a little bit. But he didn't. It went right to Vladdy's glove and he just dropped it. And then, of course, the home run shortly after or the Mullins shortly after. So that's a tough place for Vladdy to be. I think doubly so because, of course, he is now essentially making $500 million.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess this is no consolation whatsoever. But in watching that Bo throw, I almost wondered if Vladdy was calculating the root of the ball as if it was going to hop and he was going to catch it on the hop. And that's just not, that was clearly a miscalculation. So he couldn't make the play. And that was a big one. That would have ended the inning right there. And really, it would have been a completely different game from that point onward.
Were you surprised that it wasn't an error?
I was. I truly believed that Vladdy could have had at least one error, maybe two, today. And sure, those were very difficult plays, especially for Bo to make and for Wagner to a lesser degree as well. But it's a play that Vladdy has to make. Yeah. And so, you know, I believe that it would have been an error, but I also understand the scoring as an infield hit. Kind of a weird day, show. We don't really see Vladimir Guerrero Jr., you know, commit two of those quote-unquote errors, obviously, at first base. You're usually pretty secure in what he is doing defensively, it happens, and I understand that he will wear it. And, you know, and for the base running mistake, I don't think there's any excuse for that.
Yeah,
you need to be more
that.
Aware. You need to be more attentive. And that was the second out. There were no outs in that inning. And so that was a double play right there because obviously Santander flies out. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is called out. There's a runner at third base. And then Andrés Giménez comes in. That knocks Sugano out of the game. Andrés Giménez comes in, drives a ball to center field that would have easily scored that runner at third.
Yeah.
But at that point, there were two outs, and so obviously that was moot. And so it you really see how much the game changed, and even the route that the game was taking changed because of those moments. Really, really unfortunate show, but this one, it's going to be hard not to look at it with that reading of how it went.
And let me tell you, a lot of people on the text line are looking at it with that reading. Okay, 590-590, name and location. Q from Winnipeg got in early on this one. Q saying, this was maybe like 20 minutes ago. Q for saying, this loss is 100% on Vladdy. He's an athletic player, but he really needs to clean up the fundamentals. Two careless plays that rallied a lifeless Orioles team and sunk Francis's quality start. Dale in Nova Scotia, Dale saying, oh, here it is. Vladdy has to clean up the mental errors, like leaving the bag too soon. A lot of people are, and I think this is true, a lot of people are going to judge him harshly after signing the big contract. Nobody should cost the team runs, especially the franchise player. I think he'll clean it up and carry the weight of being the man just fine. So Dale taking a more glass half full approach to it, I think. Paul in Burlington, Vladdy needs to do better as the leader of this team. Todd from Newfoundland. Todd gave some like values to things. I thought it was interesting. Vladdy minus two today. RBI double plus one. Base running mistake cost a run minus one. Drop ball, which should have been an error and would have been three outs, leads to two runs minus two. Well, actually, if you're a plus one, then a minus one takes you back to zero. Then another minus takes you to minus one. But still, Paul, I get Todd in Newfoundland's point. David in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, two games in a row that errors cost us a win. Let's hope for better. And then Forbes in Toronto. And I think this is a good point from Forbes. And Forbes always has some pretty interesting texts. Forbes saying, regarding Vladdy attempting to tag up and advance the second on Santander's long fly ball in the fifth, we constantly hear the Jays professing quote-unquote attention to detail. These are the details to which Vladdy should have been paying attention in that situation. If Springer was up after Santander, and especially so if Kirk was right after Santander in the order, then trying to get the second to stay out of a double play situation could be a quote-unquote heads-up play and a risk worth taking. But with Giménez up next, one of their fastest players who hits from the left side, grounding into a double play was a remote possibility, which makes Vladdy's decision ill-advised.
That's
and it's
right.
It's a good point from Forbes.
It is a good point. And again, especially when you have a runner at third, you don't take those risks. It could have been the inning could have ended more or less in the same way, but it's just the mental aspect of it and the fact that then it happened again on defense twice, right, Cho? So clearly something a little bit off. And listen, players have those days.
Right.
It's no one is immune to those mental errors. No one is immune to maybe a little bit of a day where you're off. These happen. It's a very, very long season. But against a division rival on the road with such a close game and a lot on the line here, you know, to our previous texter's point, the Orioles haven't done well. This offense has been pretty dormant. And, you know, obviously it's no one's fault but the pitcher on the mound when you allow two home runs and when you allow guys who have been scuffling to get hot again. But this could still have been a win on the column for the Blue Jays and keeping the division a little bit closer. I know it's very, very early to keep close tabs on division races and whatnot, but with the way that the AL East is going, you have no choice but to look at it every day and to look at these moments and at these games and kind of wonder if they're going to prove costly later on in the season, Show.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, too, because I think, and I've been guilty of this, too, for sure, when you talk about like, oh, well, games, you know, you're still figuring things out early in the season and later in the year, games mean more. And I mean, I guess they mean more simply because what people mean by that is because you're closer to the playoffs. But I mean, a loss in March or April is still matters in terms of wins or losses numbers wise as much as a loss in, you know, August and September do for sure, right? Like they're still the same amount on the loss column or the win column. So, you know, getting hosed by Manny Gonzalez on a Thursday night or making errors for Vladdy at first base or on the base paths on a Saturday afternoon, like those all count the same essentially, right? Which is why I think it's better you clean up these mistakes sooner rather than later. I'm not excusing it by any means because it wasn't great, but I mean, to your point, the Orioles had really been scuffling. Like they had, what, prior to today, 8 losses. I mean, they still have 8 losses, I mm-hmm. suppose. They're just 6-8 instead of 5-8. But they left Toronto at 2-2.
Right on.
And they only won like 3 more games prior to today since the opening series. So they had not been having a very good offensive performance. And then you let them score 5 runs today. That's not really acceptable. And I think it will get cleaned up. Don't get me wrong, but that's a tough place to live.
Yeah, it will, because we have seen the Blue Jays are one of the best defensive teams in the entire league. These days don't happen very often. So I agree with you. It will get cleaned up, and this will not be made into a habit in any way, shape, or form. But it is, I guess, a little sad even, show that this whole thing sort of obfuscated the fact that Anthony Santander finally hit his first home run as a Blue Jay and did it in such a special way, obviously, and at Camden Yards in front of, you know, after they played the video tribute and all of that, he comes out of the dugout.
It's a standing ovation.
Acknowledges the crowd. It was such a nice moment. And then for him to get that home run, it's a little, I guess, disappointing that it, you know, it kind of took a little bit of a step back because of how the rest of that game went.
Yeah, it's too bad because now Santander, you're finally getting a home run from one of Bo, Vladdy, or Santander, your top three, and they've been your top three all season. And now you're right. Like, it's just kind of a bit of a footnote. I mean, you hope he can continue that. And you and I had watched some of the pregame or listened to some of the pregame commentary he had done with not just the Blue Jays media in Baltimore, but a whole bunch of the Baltimore media in Baltimore. And he was joking around. He was clearly very comfortable. And he said he went to go talk to the staff attendants and the chefs and stuff. Like, he clearly was very happy to be back in Baltimore. And then he hits his first home run of the season in a place he's hit a billion home runs, it feels like. And then the Blue Jays lose that game, and you feel like it's not really the top or even the second or even the third most important story of this game. Same goes for Bo, honestly. Like, there's a text here from, Ilo driving through the 401. And hope you're not driving and texting, Ilo. But he or she says, what are your thoughts on Bo? He's probably 50-50 in clutch situations, but my sense, he's more of a sure out than a hit. I guess I'm looking for someone to say I'm wrong. Like, I get the text because of how the game ended, right? Because you had a situation where a base hit probably, because I think it was Miles Straw in seconds, so a base hit probably would have tied the game, and he strikes out against Felix Bautista, unfortunately. But, I mean, Bo today was, what, 3 for 5 at the end of the day, because he came up at the end. But he was 3 for 5, including a double and an RBI single. I mean, I thought he looked great today, all things considered. The literal first pitch of the game, he laces a leadoff double. The second inning, he comes up again against Sugano, who is really struggling, and then he just flips that pitch right down the middle into right field. So he gets aboard 3 times, and then on top of it had the play we talked about earlier, deep in the hole, where he backhand stabs the ball. I thought Bo looked great today.
Yeah, he did. But sometimes I will say that the aggressiveness does come back in not so flattering ways. That is why, you know, a big part of why I think we saw him strike out in that last at bat of the game. It's the fact that Felix Bautista knew to throw a first pitch slider because Bo had already shown his hand early on in the game and the aggressiveness, which obviously is part of his game. It is part of what makes him such a feared hitter and such a good hitter, is that he is always on the attack. But at times you just need to take a step back and maybe think a little bit like the pitcher and what is it that you have already shown? What is it that you are known for? And what is it that you're trying to do right now? Mm. What does this moment call for? And you know, that first pitch slider that he took a huge hack at, to me, was one of those moments where, yeah, it's pretty clear that you have a reputation and hitters, or pitchers rather, are going to exploit that in those big moments. And that strike three was also a swinging strike on a pitch that was not in the zone. So you kind of see that, you know, there is a book a little bit out on Bichette. And now it's up to him to make those adjustments and to not necessarily have the winning hit in his mind in those moments. It is very much about checking on what it is that the situation is calling for. And in that moment, maybe a step back on the aggression would have been more beneficial, and it would have been a more competitive at bat.
I just wouldn't call Bo a sure out.
A sure out is a bit...
Like, it was a tough, don't get me wrong. It was a tough AB against Bautista. It was. Like, I'm not going to make excuse for him. Like, he could have been a tad less aggressive. I mean, like, he kind of live and die with Bo being aggressive at this point. Like, that is just... I feel like that's who he is at this point of his career. I do wonder how that's going to... Just in a general sense for Bo now, I do wonder how that's going to look for him as his game ages a little bit. But, I mean, that's not a conversation we have to have right now. That's just something I was thinking about over the last couple of weeks. But generally speaking, I don't know. I just wouldn't classify Bo as a sure out versus a hit, especially this season, given how he's looked, I think, on the whole.
Yeah, and the fact that it doesn't have to be a pitch in the zone for Bo to do damage with it. That has also been, you know, something that we have learned over the seasons with Bichette, especially when he's at his best. He will reach out of the zone, and he is capable of making decent contact with those pitches and actually getting a ball is, you know, just above the shortstop's head or whatever it may be. Those things do happen. We've seen him do it. He utilizes the whole field. When he's not looking for a home run and he's actually, you know, focused on hitting those line drives, that is when he's at his best. And it looked like he had a chance here. This at bat did not look like a sure out from the start at all, especially because Bautista has not had the type of dominant season that we have seen him put together in the past. And so, yeah, this was a nail biter and just didn't go Bo's way. Something to look at, I guess. If you're going to watch film, if you're going to, you know, revisit your at-bats from this game, that is just something to consider in the sense of, well, with the game on the line, ninth inning, what is it that a pitcher is thinking about you, and how is it that you can make adjustments in order to come out on top?
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Those are the numbers to call. 590-590, name and location. That's the people's text line if you want to reach us via text as well. We have a whole bunch of texts we still haven't gotten to. So, Jules, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, let's hear from the skipper, John Schneider, wrapping up his media availability, I see. And we'll also go back to the text line, back to the phones as well. We're here until the bottom of the hour. That's Julia Kreutz. I'm Show Ali. You're listening to Jay's Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
He was cruising, you know. I thought he did a good job of pitching inside early and had really quick innings. So, splitter up to Kerstad and then the 2-0 heater to Adley. That's basically it. I thought he did well enough to earn that spot against Cedric there. And, you know, credit to him, put a good swing on a pitch, up and out. And, you know, we had chances to either add on or save a few runs there too. So I thought Bowden threw the ball really well.
That's John Schneider talking about Bowden Francis's 5 2/3. He allowed 4 hits, 5 runs, all of which were earned, unfortunately. 2 walks, 5 Ks. The splitter looked great, I thought, early on in the game. 96 pitches, 53 strikes. I mean, Jules, he showed off the splitter to Jordan Westberg in a 2-2 count. Westberg could not help but swing at that pitch. Later on, an 82-mile-an-hour splitter. I think this was my favorite pitch of the day. Just clipping the zone at the knees of Gunnar Henderson. And he looked mad. And honestly, if I would have probably been mad, too, if I was the batter, then they show the StatCast replay, and it would clearly hit the zone. And then he gets Westberg again with the splitter in the fifth. But, yeah, I mean, as Schneider talked about, he leaves the splitter up a little to Kerstad in the zone. He hammers that thing 409 feet. So his first real mistake there, and then a 2-0 sinker right to Adley Rutschman, which, I mean, a 426-foot bomb, my goodness. But and then he walks Ryan O'Hearn immediately afterwards. So he like falters a little bit, but to your point from earlier, you know, Bowden Francis probably should not have had 5 runs.
No, probably not. I mean, listen, the especially the first homer there, it was clearly a splitter that caught way too much of the zone. And those pitches will happen, right? No pitcher can be perfect with every single offering, especially as a starter. That's fine. And frankly, you know, the pitch to Adley there that he hit, absolutely crushed. It wasn't necessarily... Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, if it was his first homer since opening day.
That's crazy. Like,
Yeah. He's only homered against the Blue Jays all season long.
That's too.
It's pretty, pretty interesting, but not necessarily... I wouldn't say necessarily a bad pitch. It wasn't like it was middle or anything like that. It's just that third time through the order, Adley Rutschman has had a couple of looks already, and he is a very, very good hitter. So he's not going to miss those offerings, as rare as they are, against Bowden Francis, because Francis pitched very well. He pitched a good game here, and it was a little bit of a continuation of what we saw from his past couple of starts. But, you know, you can't make that many mistakes in a row, I guess. And I think that that's kind of how I would describe it. It was very, very good for the first handful of innings, and then it just fell off in the sixth, right? So tough one, but we've seen him kind of bounce back before. Again, show he hadn't allowed a hit until that home run.
That's
so crazy. This is another time where the first hit that
happening.
Ben Francis allows is a homer. It keeps happening. It's an interesting trend to sort of follow with him here, and something to clean up as well, right? Because you can't really expect continued success when you are allowing two home runs a game as a starter, unfortunately. But other than that, you kind of look at Francis, he just gave you more of the same, more of what we have grown accustomed since late last season. Unfortunate fifth and sixth for him.
416-870-0590, 1-888-660-590, *590 on your cell. Those are the numbers to call. We'll go back to the text line as well, 590-590, name and location. Before we do, though, let's check the Bet365 standings update. At Bet365, you can bet on live in-game. You can bet live in-game on game props, totals, and the money line. Download the app and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19-plus, play responsibly, Ontario only. So actually, the Rays game against the Braves just finished. Like, literally, while we were in the commercial break, that game just went final, which means all of the teams in the American League East are done for the day. So with that in mind, Jules, here are the current standings, up-to-the-minute update standings in the American League East. The Yankees are 8-6 after they doubled up the San Francisco Giants. Yeah, the final score in the Bronx was 8-4. Ben Rice hitting, I think he had a home run, like, 113 miles an hour off the bat, which is just absurd. So the Yankees are 8-6. The Blue Jays are just half a game back. They're 8-7 following the loss. Every other team in the American League East, including the Red Sox, the Orioles, and the Rays, are all under 500, at least right now. The Red Sox, they lose to the White Sox, 3-2, the final score. They are now 7-9. This is from our friend Brandon Wild, the score. The White Sox are 5-4 after today against the Red Sox the last two seasons. That represents 11% of their total wins over two seasons. That's insane. I mean, that speaks to, I don't know how the White Sox beat the Red Sox that many times, but also that the White Sox, who do not win very many games, just for whatever reason, have Boston's number. But there you go. So the Red Sox losing. The Orioles, of course, win, so they're 6-8. And the Rays just lost to the Braves. They lose 5-4. And the Tampa Bay Rays are 6-8. The Braves, of course, who will come to Toronto on Monday, are now 4-10. That's a quick check of the Bet365 standings update. But you said this earlier, Jules, the AL East, very close. Like, even for the Rays and Orioles, who are in the bottom of the division right now, they're still only two games back of the Yankees right
now.
Yeah,
kind of all over the place, and not at all, at least what I expected it would look like this early in the season, show. And you kind of, you know, you see a team like the Orioles, the offense kind of disappeared for a handful of games. That's never going to last. They have way too much power and way too many talented hitters in that lineup. It's a team that, you know, will figure things out. The Yankees dealing with a ton of injuries, still finding ways to stay above 500 here. And obviously a big part of that is their offense as well. Certainly some things to clean up. Show, you and I were speaking about the pitching a little bit and how much of a challenge that has been for them. But even the division lead right now is up for grabs. And if the Blue Jays can keep sort of improving on, especially on the offensive side, again, looking at runners in scoring position, again, looking at, you can't even really complain about lack of power today. That was not the problem. But this is what I mean when I say that these games are probably going to matter, and we're probably going to look back at the month of April and imagine what could have been. It's a tough one. Obviously, this is always going to be a tough division, right? But it feels like it's within reach, and it's up to the Blue Jays to grab it.
590-590, name and location. That's the people's text line. Let's go back to the text line before we get out of here in about 10 minutes or so, Jules. Josh in Brampton texting in about the division. Too much at stake for the Jays to fail. When the team on both sides of the ball are firing on all cylinders, we can get away with the division. And I think that's maybe something that people have said. I've seen more texts, put it that way. I've seen more texts for Blair. I've heard more calls, whether it's for us or for B&B, or just generally speaking on the station over the last little while. I have seen a little bit more optimism, just generally speaking about the team. I think like the The aspects of the Blue Jays that I believe, and I think I'm extrapolating this correctly from the text line, but I think the concerns still lie largely with the offense. Like, I don't think a lot of people are that concerned about Baden Francis despite the 5 earned runs. I think because of, you know, maybe should have been 3 earned runs, for example, and that's all right at the very least, right? So I think a lot of people are not super concerned, especially because the starting rotation has been electric to start the year, just generally speaking. But the offense, and I think too, there was a text here on the text line in terms of things people are concerned about. Yeah, this is from Shane. For a team that prides itself on pitching and run prevention, not a good start. We have lost 3 or 4 games in the first 15 because of errors. And I think that's a good point. I mean, I think because you do believe that they can do this at the highest possible level. I mean, this is a team that's won the Team Gold Glove 2 years in a row now. So you believe that this is something they do so well. And when they make mistakes like this, it feels very out of character, right? Even for, and I've said before, I don't think Vladdy is like the world's best defensive first baseman, but like you can get away with it. Today they couldn't. Right. Maybe Bo is not the best defensive shortstop in the world, but he made the plays he was supposed to make and it still wasn't enough. Right. So I just think you want to see them clean up that aspect of it because, I mean, you know, you don't want to see this continue throughout the rest of the season. I mean, how many times did Blair and Barker crush the Red Sox for just booting the ball all over the field, infield and outfield for 4 straight games, etc. Like
they
and deservedly so, right? You don't want to see that happen for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, and I don't think it will. Again, you know, mental mistakes are part of a long season, and this has been such a brutal road trip for the Blue Jays. If I'm not mistaken, I too am not very good at math, Joe, but I think that with the rain out yesterday and the loss today, this is guaranteed to be a losing road trip. But if you can eke out a win tomorrow, I would say that you're still pretty happy with how things went, just considering how difficult this stretch was always going to be for the Blue Jays, and then kind of just regroup and come home, right? I think that this is really the time to get the heck out of the States, come back home, and just focus on one opponent at a time moving forward. Tough road trip here, a couple of division opponents, but all things considered, I think if you can still get a win tomorrow, you're pretty satisfied with how things went. Not perfect by any means, but yeah. Is it too soon to throw out an all things considered here?
I think we had said on Sunday when we were doing the last Jays talk, which unfortunately was also a loss. It was a loss that ended in a sweep for the hands of the Mets. But that was a road trip that starts in Citi Field in Queens, and then it goes to Fenway, then to Camden Yards. And I think after the sweep, I said to you, you know what? I think the Jays need to go 4-3 against the division here, Red Sox, the Orioles, in order for you to feel good about this road trip because you went 0-3 in New York to start. And then they take 3 of 4 against the Red Sox, and they frankly, they should have swept that series. And if not for some horrible umpiring. So, I mean, that's a silver lining. It's a bit of a moral victory to a certain extent, but they did lose that game. Yeah. So you come out of Boston 3-1, then you lose today. So you're 3-2. You lose the game, obviously, thanks to the rainout. So it kind of feels like for me, I feel like to feel a little more confident about the team's chances against them. I think even though they're 4-10, a much better team in the Atlanta Braves.
For sure.
You kind of had to pick up this win tomorrow. And I'm not going to go say it's a must win. I mean, it's like April 12th today, right?
Right.
So I'm not sure games at the beginning of the season are must wins. But at the same time, you do need to clean up some things because even though the Braves have been scuffling a little bit, they're not going to be an easy out when they come to the Rogers Center.
No, they are not. And the Blue Jays will definitely need to be at their best, especially defensively, which I expect to be the case. You know, they lead the league in defensive runs saved right now. There's a reason for that. There's a reason why they have been recognized for 2 years in a row, you know, on their defense. DeMarlo Hale and the rest of the coaching staff, they do put a lot of emphasis in that. We know that that has been a point of emphasis for the Blue Jays over the past few seasons. I don't expect to see perhaps all season show a game with as many defensive miscues as we saw today. And it wasn't just Vladdy, it was also Alan Roden. That Cedric Mullins RBI hit was not scored a triple. It was scored a double and an error by Roden. So
right. It
kind of shows you that it was just a day. It was just a day for the Blue Jays. But, you know, like you said, that's kind of just a consolation that's no consolation at all.
I do want to, before we get out of here, talk a little bit about the bullpen, just because the bullpen had been taxed quite significantly over the first, even in, if I count the Red Sox series, the first, what, like 13 games of the season or whatever it is. And they've just been used, I think, a lot more than you'd expected them to be used. And then you had the day off thanks to the rain out, which I think actually ended up being a blessing in disguise, because otherwise you would have had all these games in a row until the next day off, which was which without the rain out, what will be on April 17th, which is this coming Thursday. But then you had the rain out, which I think essentially allows you to reorder the bullpen a little bit. Today we didn't see the highest leverage relievers, because by the time the relievers actually came in, Yariel came in for two outs. But after that, I mean, it ends up being, unfortunately, the case ends up being that there wasn't really cause to use your best relievers because you weren't leading. Having said that, I mean, with the next four straight games, assuming there's no rain, I don't think there's any rain in the forecast for tomorrow. So assuming that we get tomorrow's game played on time and then three games at the Rogers Center where there are no rainouts, thankfully, you can essentially use your bullpen however you want tomorrow and for three games against the Braves, knowing you have an off day on Thursday. And then on top of that, I'm not sure I really have anything negative to say about any of, I mean, Yariel plunks a batter the very first runner up, but he looked all right. Mason Fluharty, I was a little more encouraged by, and in a slightly higher leverage role than we saw him the last time out. And Chad Green, and again, Chad Green, you have to use him at some point here, but I'm no real complaints about the bullpen going into the next four games.
No, and listen, what a positive it has been for Mason Fluharty in his past couple of outings to just get the opportunity to pitch a clean inning, no runners on base, nothing inherited. You know, obviously all of these games matter and there's pressure pretty much every time he takes the mound. But, you know, you give him a clean inning, you allow him to actually show what his stuff is. There is nothing else in the back of his mind. And that has proven pretty good for him, right? Just to get those opportunities. He's done well. He's kind of acing those tests. Tough for him to start his major league career as it did, but we're seeing a little bit of the other side of Fluharty now and really why he made it to the major leagues at this point this season. Cool to see, Show. Cool to see those clean innings from a guy like him.
We had heard also pregame that Swanson and Burr are getting a little bit closer to returning. I think I heard Schneider say earlier today that Burr threw a bullpen and that Swanson's getting closer to facing live batters. So, like, you don't have to make a decision on this anytime soon, but it will be interesting to see. And I think Jacob Barnes is probably one of the next guys to, unfortunately, who will go once they need to make room for one of these Burr or Swanson.
Yeah.
Whichever comes first. But I will be fascinated to see how they treat the rest of the after Barnes, because they already let Lovelady go. I'll be fascinated to see who goes down when one, if not both, of these guys come back.
Yeah, that's every game for some of these guys, Fluharty included, absolutely is going to be an audition, because we know that there is a little bit of a timeline for the Blue Jays to make those tough decisions. And so, obviously, you know, Fluharty being a lefty, Brendan Little the only other lefty in that pen.
He's not going anywhere.
There may be Little is not going anywhere. No, he's been pretty good for the most part. Yeah. There's been a couple of moments here and there, but his stuff is really, really playing. So he's not going anywhere. How can a guy like Fluharty prove useful and prove that he's worthy to be kept around and not sent back to the minors? So, yeah, a lot of tests and a lot of auditions for some of the guys in that pen as Swanson and Burr inch closer to returning here.
Yeah, I think I'll be really fascinated to see, again, I mean, and you kind of saw the flip side of this play out today for the Orioles, because Sugano really struggled with control for the good portion of his outing. I mean, he only went 4 2/3. He allowed 8 hits in 4 2/3, including the 3 earned runs. And then after Keegan Aiken and Brian Baker, they essentially went to all of their highest leverage guys. Like, the Orioles and Brandon Hyde pull all the levers to shut down this game. Yennier Cano, Gregory Soto, and Felix Bautista. So, like, that was clearly, at least in part, a benefit of having the rain out yesterday. I think that's what you wanted to see from the Jays today, which, unfortunately, you didn't, because they were down after Francis left this ballgame.
Yeah.
That is Julia Kreutz. I'm Show Ali. And that does it for us. Blue Jays baseball is brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Halifax and Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. Protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection. For Julia Kreutz, Ben Schulman, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Nick Blackmore, I'm Shoa Ali. That does it for us. We are out of here. We are back tomorrow to wrap up this mini two-game series in Baltimore. Blair and Barker will be back for the Braves series beginning Monday. But have a great Saturday night, everyone. We'll talk to you tomorrow.